Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Got a very interesting podcast for you today. I'm very excited to talk with our guest. And I'm going to start with a quote that I read from our guest. Check this out. Listen to this and see if this doesn't ring true with you. You are meant to have the life you dream. You are an incredible human being. And it's the exact moment when you realize your deepest worth and highest path that you will enjoy a life beyond that which you can even imagine. That is Deborah Bishop, who is our guest today. Deb, good to have you here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.
And you know, as a creative person, and we have a lot of creative people and songwriters that listen to this podcast. And I think as a creative person, we all have a little problem with the self-worth. We're never quite good enough. Or we wonder, that last gig I did, did I have the crowd? Was it good enough? I could have been better. I don't know. I'm kind of perfectionist that way. And then you go on to say that you'll never outperform your own self-image. My God, that's some deep stuff. We talk a lot, Deborah, on this show about defining your own success. And you talking about self-worth. I mean, you fit right in.
Thank you.
What can you say about that?
About self-worth? I think that it is the one thing that I've met. I've had the privilege of not only performing most of my life, but working with probably a few thousand people at this point.
Yeah.
And the one common thread I think we all have is that as human beings, none of us feel good enough, which is such a ridiculous idea that we're somehow not enough. But it is a common thread that human beings seem to have.
Is it the restrictions that society puts? What is it, do you think?
Well, it goes back into a philosophy that I've been where I call it my divine download. I was given it a
divine
long time.
Download.
Yes, a divine download.
Wow.
I'm a little woo-woo. but, you know, it's that thing of realizing, you know, everybody does their best. So when I say this, I mean this with all due respect from everywhere that we came from, because we all come from somewhere, and so did our parents, and so did their parents, and so did we have this reality of when the first time we do not feel safe in our lives between the ages of 0 and 6 or 7, depending on how quick the development, we have an occurrence that happens where we don't feel safe for the first time. It doesn't have to be dark or ominous. It's just we don't feel safe. Maybe you cried and we didn't get picked up, something.
Yeah.
And we immediately, before we even know what we're doing, we start making decisions about who we are, how we're supposed to be, and what we've learned from that experience.
Yeah.
So if a baby cries and cries and cries and never gets picked up and finally cries themselves to sleep, you know, that little baby has no idea that their nervous system is registering all that kind of information and starting to say, okay, well, I guess I should be quiet and behave because, you know, obviously I'm not enough to be, so I need to show up a little bit differently. And it's like the child has no idea this is happening. It's the nervous system that registers it and starts to teach us about how we're supposed to show up differently so that we can get the love and we can get the nurturing that we feel we need or deserve.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Deborah. She's an award-winning recording artist, singer-songwriter, but also she's voted among the top 30 psychics and mediums in the world, top energy healing artist in the United States. She does yoga. She's physically fit. She loves animals. She's done podcasting. Discovery Channel even did a feature on you, didn't they?
Yep.
You've got so much that you bring to our dining room table today, and I'm looking forward to hearing your music, too. You brought along a guitar player.
It's Paul Bono.
Hey,
yes.
Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I had the honor of sharing the stage with you, both of you, not too very long ago with our good friend Cindy Alter, and I have to tell you, you guys blew me away. You really did.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm happy to hear more.
He's amazing. He's been producing indie artists for over 30 years.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Right here in Nashville?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite some time.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. We've become partners, and I'm ever grateful for it because this man has pulled probably the best out of me that I've ever done. So,
really?
Yes.
Wow. That's high praise.
Thank you. Yeah.
Where did you all meet? How did it all happen?
We met through Cindy, actually.
Through Cindy Alter.
Cindy Alter. Mm-hmm.
Love her.
Yeah. Yeah, she was in town. You know, she's from South Africa. We knew each other in Los Angeles when we both lived in L.A. And then she went back to South Africa, and then I ultimately moved here. And she came into town in, I think, 2016, I think, was somewhere in there to record an EP. And she was working with Paul, and I ended up going over to pick her up there. And
we had you sing a little background vocal on one of her tracks.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know if you ever used it, but yeah, we sing it.
If you're not familiar with the name, Cindy has been on our show, and go back to the archives and dig it out. Cindy was the band called The Clout that broke it out of South Africa and sold millions of records worldwide.
Yes.
Had a huge hit. She talks about that. So we have that mutual friend in common. So pretty cool. Very interesting. Yeah. You know, the other thing, there's just so much in your bio and things about you that I've read. You've done podcasting. You've really done it. You did radio.
Yes.
Radio talk show.
Radio. I've done TV talk. I've done, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like nothing you don't do.
I don't fix cars.
But I bet you could if you tried.
Probably, if I put my mind to it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a big techie. I'm not, you know, I love to tell technology what to do and have it do it, if you will. But yeah, I get a little lost in technology.
So. You got a great website. Thanks for seeing that.
Thank you. I actually designed that.
Did you?
But I didn't actually put it together. I had somebody else do it. Yes.
And people, now that we're talking about it, people can find it where?
Welcome to Bishop World.
Welcome to Bishop World. We're kind of in our Bishop world today.
We are, indeed.
I read that you first took the stage. You're from Vancouver, right, originally?
Yes.
You first took the stage at age four?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
There's got to be a story behind that.
Well, let's see. I started dancing when I was four, and I started music when I was five.
Dancing, okay.
Mm-hmm. And when I was four, we were at a restaurant, and this is the thing I always remember. It was the first time anybody handed me a mic. We're at this restaurant. I don't remember if it was it was somebody's birthday. It wasn't mine. It was somebody's birthday. Or maybe it was mine. I don't know. I was four. But I got called up to the stage, and there's a piano player there, you know, all that kind of stuff going on. And I wanted to sing a song, and he called me up to sing a song. So I got the mic, and I sang a little song. I have no idea what song it was, but I sang a little song. And everybody applauded, and he went to get the mic. And I remember this to this day. I went, I'm not done yet. That set the stage right there.
Oh, that's adorable, I bet. Just adorable.
Yeah, but wow. I was doing recitals and stuff like that at four. I won my best, my very first best songwriting award when I was five.
5 years old?
Yes.
You wrote a song at five?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Yes. But I was part of like the Royal Conservatory and all this stuff at Canada. And so we were part of competitions and things like that. And you had to write. And I just found it, actually. I can't believe I actually have it. So we're going to work it in. It was Paul's idea to work it into a song.
Work it into your show?
Work it into a song somehow. Uh-huh. But it was a province-wide competition, and I ended up winning best original composition at five.
Now, were you playing an instrument then? Or?
Piano.
Piano. Mm-hmm. So you plucked out the melody on the piano? And
I played it on piano.
And sang it?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It was a moment.
I'll bet. Mm-hmm. Then you went to L.A. and you had success there. You did radio there, and you had your own successful business, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
My successes have been, acting's been a part of my world.
Acting,
lots
too.
And
we
lots
forgot
of theater.
To mention acting.
Lots
so
and lots of theater in my background. Some indie film.
Yeah.
But I always was getting, like, when I moved into more film, I was getting cast as the girl next door, like, that was killing everybody. That you would never suspect. It was, like, the third time I got cast in a role like that, I was like, I don't know if this is going anywhere. So I stayed really much into the
Your
theater.
Friends were starting to be concerned, right?
A little bit. Like, well, I don't know. Do we need to think something about her?
Yeah.
But I've had a couple theater companies, and one of them was called Brainbury Entertainment, and that was with my partner, Patty Negri, and she was amazing. And we produced, I wrote probably 100 and, I don't know, however many shows during that time. There was a lot of them.
Wow.
There was sketch comedy and stuff like that.
Cool. Very
so over the course of 7 years or so that we were in business together. That, so that was kind of fun. And I had a theater company before that called Frontline Players, mm-hmm. and it grew into this huge thing. I had directors and writers and actors and all of that, and we actually walked all the way into HBO.
Wow!
And got so close to getting picked up by HBO, but I ended up getting involved with the producer that kind of destroyed that reality.
Ooh, well, it wasn't meant to be, huh?
It wasn't meant to be. Yeah. That one hurt. There's a few that hurt along the way, actually.
Oh, yeah. We all have those disappointments, though, mm-hmm. don't we? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's how you deal with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I want to hear a song from you, and then I want to get really deep into more of what you do, because you really do some magical things. But Paul is here to play guitar, and maybe you can tell us the story behind it. I imagine through all the success that music has been part of that journey, right?
Most definitely. Yeah. Although it was really interesting. I went away from music. When I was about 11, I was a little concert pianist at this point.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
And I got up in front of a theater, about 300-seat theater, mm-hmm. and I froze.
Oh, no.
I literally froze. I melted down. There was a lot of stuff going on in my world, and it caught up with me. Yeah. And I literally melted down on stage. And so for quite a few years, I could not play a piano if I knew somebody could hear me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I was very much like away from that, and I went more heavily into acting, and I stayed away from music for a while, and then I got back into singing, and then eventually I got back into writing. But it took me a long time to be able to actually play the piano in front of anybody. So
wow,
yeah,
I saw you play one night.
You did.
I played it around with you. Mm-hmm. It blew me away.
No, oh, well, thank
you. So tell us about this song you're going to play, and let's do it.
This is The Ghosts of Mississippi. And, honey, how do we come up with this one, huh?
Well, we were just in the writing room one night and came up with this strange hook about the ghosts of Mississippi are on parade, and we had that in the back of our minds. Sometimes when a hook like that comes, and you're like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do with that hook? Mm. And it kind of just sat around for months, and we kept telling ourselves, we need to write that song, so...
That's my favorite part of songwriting. You know, yeah. You got a really good hook, and you just examine it from all different angles. How we approach that? How are we going to write that?
Yeah, and so we were a little bit intimidated by that phrase. You know, what do you do with that? The ghosts of Mississippi are on parade.
Because there's a lot of ghosts of Mississippi. In the South here, we have a lot of ghosts and a lot of history, right?
We do, yeah.
So,
yeah, and so when we kind of topically talked about it before we jumped in, and we decided, you know what? I think it's about the Civil War, you know, about the soldiers. So that's what we did. That's
awesome. I can't wait to hear
this. Let the song speak for itself.
I'm all about that kind of history for sure.
The middle of a fight. Now the ghosts of Mississippi are on parade. I see the ghosts of Mississippi dressed in blue and gray, blue and gray. If they catch you on the wrong side of the line, you're gonna pay. marching through the state of Georgia, crossing the Tennessee line. The generals gather in the forest while the women cry. Dawn breaks, bullets fly, some too fast to say goodbye, goodbye. 'Cause there's no way to stay in the middle when it's the middle of a fight. Now the ghosts of Mississippi are on parade. I see the ghosts of Mississippi dressed in black and gray, black and gray. If they catch you on the wrong side of the line, you're gonna pay.
Recorded that yet?
Yes.
Yeah, have.
It's actually out? Done an indie release to radio. It got picked up and played quite well here in the U.S. and in the U.K. And
where can we find it out there?
Oh, right now there's a lot of stuff happening musically, so it's really strange to say this, but sort of everything is down at the moment because really? There's other things going on.
Well,
not really at liberty to sort of share about that at this moment. You know how the industry can be about
stuff. Sounds exciting, though.
It is. It's very exciting. Yep. What it means, though, is we're not necessarily up and playing in a bunch of places right now.
Gotcha.
You know, so you get to hear us here.
Yeah. You're game planning.
Yes, we are game planning, strategy, and all that kind of stuff going on. It's exciting.
Really yeah.
As with anything, though,
you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
As with anything, though, in this industry, you got to love it and bless it. You know, let's hurry up and be really patient.
Absolutely.
Hurry up and wait.
but be patient. But hurry up.
We're very blessed. We're very blessed.
You have so much going on. In addition to all of that, and you have a lot of plates in the air all the time. You know, what I've found as a true inspiration too, talented people are usually talented in so many different ways. You're an artist as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about visual artist.
Yes.
As well as a song artist. I would also say, spiritual artist? I mean, you deal in things like, I wanted to ask you, energy practitioner?
Yes.
What is that?
Well,
explain.
We're all energy, right? We're all connected. We're all energy. We're all constructed of energy. We have frequency and energy running
through
us.
Yeah.
That's what makes us function. You know, if we don't have that going, we're not here anymore. So I don't know how or why I do these things. I don't. Mm-hmm. I was born this way. I came this way. So mm-hmm. I am able to.
It wasn't part of that divine download.
Well, yeah, it's in that same sort of realm or spectrum. Like I really felt. And I know others can relate to this. Mm-hmm. I really felt like I wasn't from this planet. And,
really?
You know?
Yeah.
And when I was a child, I really didn't meet anybody that saw or felt or that. So it just kind of
like
was nothing that I talked about or knew how to talk about.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, I've always been able. I see grid lines. Everything is energetically connected. And it's like a big, gigantic grid of energy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I have the ability to ride that grid line. And when I work with others, I'm able to kind of connect with their higher self and their higher consciousness and their physical being and work with them in that way. So I'm working with their higher self.
It's so fascinating.
And I just know how to, I don't know why or how. I'm studied in many, many different modalities. I've spent a lifetime studying this. Yes, I have studied Reiki.
And you have a doctorate in divinity.
So I do.
You're Reverend Deb. Yes. Rev Deb is the
word you call it. And it's just been something I've been able to do. I've been blessed to work with really amazing mentors, and it just sort of explained to me a little bit more about how I do what I do. But yeah. I've worked with cancer patients. I've worked
have
with
you?
People that
so
have
healing
degenerative.
Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do healing touch. Uh-huh. I go back and forth with that one. I'm able to do it, and I really love doing it. But it's also a whole other sort of spectrum of work and. And sometimes it's a little too demanding, you know, and music and so forth is really where the passion lies. Not that I'm not
good.
Passionate about healing people. I've been doing it for years. And I'm not, I don't mean to say it that way. I'm a conduit. I don't have anything to do with what flows through me. I just know how to get out of the way.
I love it. Do you feel that same conduit connecting when you're writing songs?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a dream writing with Paul. What did you say? They land on us, or they?
They land on us.
Yeah, they descend from above. We just try to stay out of the way.
Yeah.
And not color it too much with our own
humanity. I always felt that there is a conduit, and I always felt that all that information is out there, and I think we tap into it. And I think and maybe I'm totally off base on this, but my philosophy has been, I think a lot of, you'll hear songs, and the first time it happened to me, I was like so shocked. I had that hook. I had that song. Mm-hmm. Almost the same melody. I had some of those same words. Mm-hmm. But I think that we all can tap into that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the reason why there is similarity in some of the songs. Because remember, there's thousands of songs being written every day, maybe more. Is it possible that we tap into that same energy?
I think so. I mean, we're all connected. So this idea that we're not is, that's a strange one to me.
Yeah.
So I don't understand some of the things that people do to one another, because in truth, whatever harm you do to another, you're really just doing to yourself.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's the
point?
We're all connected. You know, and so, yeah, we're all connected, but it's also like, we're the only thing we can do anything about. So every feeling, every emotion, everything that we actually have and experience, I believe in treating others the way that I would like to be treated, period. Yeah. So that's it. That's as far as it goes for me. If I'm treating somebody really well, it's because that's how I want to be treated. I didn't just sort of be this way. Like I had to go through a lot of stuff to get here. But I'm at a stage now where sometimes I look at what's happening to humanity and you know, the recluse, the place where I find the greatest safety, if you will, is either writing, creating, and or performing. I feel safest on stage, which is really bizarre, but
really?
I do.
Wow. That's interesting.
And it's my place. It's my place of sanity. Because so much does not make sense to me. So much.
Yeah.
You know, but then I go, who am I to judge, right? It's not my job to judge what's happening.
That's true. But you know, you help other people find that. I mean, I've seen things like you do this deliberate minute.
Yes.
Or is that what it is? Deliberate minute?
Deliberate minute, yes.
Yeah.
I did 100 and something episodes of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And each one of those are so inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
And you help folks. Is kind of a life coach too, don't you?
Yeah. Well, people call me a coach. I've never called myself a coach.
Yeah.
And they think the discernment is this: like I've had some coaches. I respect coaches profoundly. I truly do. They do some amazing work. Mm-hmm. But to me, a coach is sort of, they'll ask you the questions, and I look at it like, okay, you've got a room you need to go to. So they'll help you to find the door, and then they'll help you to open that door, and they'll help you to see what's in there, and that's all great. It's very, very valuable.
Yeah.
I'm a little different. I will see the door. I will see the door, and I will take you by the hand, and I will have you walk with me to the door.
Mm-hmm.
I will ask you things that will help or guide you to do things that will ultimately help that door open. But if I have to open it, I'll open it, but I'll explain why I'm opening it and how I'm opening it. And then we get in the room. It's like, I shine light on stuff and I say, okay, this is what's going on over here. Let's talk about it. So it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I look at myself as a guide and a catalyst.
I read somewhere you help the people find the blocks, what's blocking.
You might call it the foundational lie, yeah.
The foundational lie.
The foundational lie.
Can you expound on that?
Sure. The foundational lie is based on what we talked about before, where it's like something happens, you don't feel safe, and you make up your mind about who you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to behave, and what, most importantly, what you've learned from that experience. And we are nothing if not self-fulfilling prophecies. What we believe is really what we end up receiving and what we achieve in this world. What we believe is possible is really what we get. And so our nervous system kicks in at some point, and because somebody says, okay, they have a belief that says that, you know, they're afraid they're going to get stuff wrong, right? So, you know, they might be thinking that they're really stupid. So what happens? That could happen when they were a kid. They put their hand up and they answered a question funny and everybody laughed, right? All of a sudden, like, oh, okay, let's not do that anymore. And their nervous system starts to react to that and starts to attract situations that will actually have them amplify that reality by trying to avoid it. Right. So the very thing we try to avoid, because the nervous system goes, that was painful, don't want to be in that pain again. So we're going to prevent all of that from happening. But when we prevent that stuff from happening, we ensure that it's going to happen over and over and over again. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So we grow through life like that. Most of my clients are, you know, over the age of 40, most. With exception, most of them have gotten to the point where they've done absolutely everything right, and they just can't—they cannot get past where they're at, and they're—they're.
And that happens a lot with musicians and artists that I work with. So, do you work with some artists and musicians here in this town?
I have worked with some artists. I love being able to work with artists. Unfortunately, it's not as many as I would like.
Yeah,
but that's largely due to the fact that a lot of artists sort of. They tend to, and I say this with much due respect, they tend to put their money into their art and not necessarily into themselves.
Going back to that self-worth thing again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, well, one day when I'm able to or whatever. And that one day never comes. I would say someday maybe never comes. There's Saturday through Sunday, but there is no someday, right?
Yeah. So it's like, just do it. Right?
Yeah.
Just do it?
Just do it. But at the same time, we've got to understand that what's running on autopilot, it's like turning on a radio, right? Ooh. If you don't turn the volume up, the radio is still on. It's still running a frequency. You just can't hear it. Right. So this is what we're talking about here with the nervous system. The nervous system is running a frequency through your entire psyche. It's responding and reacting to things you are not even aware of. It's making decisions for you and you're not even really sure why did this happen or why did that happen? Because the nervous system is doing what I call its job, and it's in survival mode, and it's showing us what we can do to best survive, which means we avoid these painful situations, except that these painful situations are all thoughts and decisions and stories that we've been telling ourselves for so long. None of them, it's really true. It's just in the moment that something bad happened. Moment that something bad happened, we went, oh, this didn't work. We do something and oh, that worked. But then we behave as if that's the way life is. Mm. And that is not the way life is.
That's not the truth.
No, it's not the truth. But we're really good at telling ourselves a lot of stories.
Wow.
You know, and we come by it honestly. I mean, I have no judgment for what people do or say as far as that's concerned, because they come by it honestly. Whatever story they've been telling themselves, their nervous system is just like, okay, we agree with that, and we're going to keep you safe. Safe does not mean happy.
No, it doesn't, does it?
No.
Right. What advice would you give to young indie artists and songwriters that maybe have a little bit of that self-doubt? What would you tell them?
Well, I would say, definitely allocate some funds to spend on yourself and your personal growth and your personal awareness. Do not think that you can do it all yourself, because when you get into these darker spaces, your survival literally flares up. And it's like you have all your friends, you're in the Caribbean, it's beautiful, clear water, and all your friends are there and they're swimming, and you can see that there's nothing bad happening.
Right.
But every time you try to get off the boat, you see a great white shark ready to eat you. Right? You're not going to get off that boat. Right. That's what it's like. And if we try to push ourselves, our nervous system will freak out and push us back. So there is a point in time where other people can help, and that help is necessary.
That's awesome.
So in a lot of ways, I'd say save yourself a lot of time and a lot of money. Right? Because if you're putting tons and tons of money into your art, but you yourself don't
always
feel like you deserve.
Always people are going to take your money, right?
Yeah. Right? Well, and then you feel like you don't deserve to be successful.
Oh, I hear you.
You know? But if you actually allocate some of those funds to actually discover how you function so that you can get out of your own way, that's a whole other ballgame.
Get out of your own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I want to talk to you more about turning up that volume. That's really captivated me. But I want to hear more songs.
Okay.
I want to hear more from you guys. Deborah Bishop is our guest. Paul is playing guitar. Another song. Another story.
Yes. Okay. We're gonna play Dollar Dollar Bills.
Dollar Dollar Bills.
This is a song. I think that I was playing on the initially I was playing on the piano, And I came up with this dollar bills, And I played it for Paul, and Paul got it on the guitar, and then we were singing it back and forth. But so we got this whole sort of hook. Again, it's one of those, we got this kind of hook, and then it sat and sat and sat.
Yeah.
And then at some point, we kind of came up with this sort of fun song. You started playing a riff, and we just started to get into a story about it.
See, many times it starts with a riff for me. That's so cool.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, for me too.
Yeah.
And then we thought, the song sounds like we're in a pool hall or something.
Actually, some you put reason. Us in the pool hall. You got us into
so
the pool hall.
That's where we. That's where the song begins.
You got
begins.
Us into the pool hall.
The pool hall. There we go.
Yep. Old boys down at the pool hall, shooting themselves a game. Hustler Slims in the corner, living up to his name. Dolly's working behind the bar, just trying to pay the rent. But it seems before her shift is done, every dime is spent. Dollar, dollar bills turn their mountains into hills.
If you can relate, everybody's welcome. You might even change your fate. Drinks are just a dollar. Bartender's name is Bill. All the smiles are free, as is a company, and the moon shines from a still. A dollar, dollar bills turn their mountains into hills. Oh, dollar, dollar bills ain't no pocket change. Dollar, dollar bills, that's the voice of the people's will.
Make it rain.
don't have too much fun when you're playing together, do you? Man.
We were laughing. He was laughing at me because every once in a while, I am notorious for doing this. I rewrite songs while I'm singing.
While you're singing. Oh, yeah. Okay. I do that too. Sometimes so, it hits you.
I would have been fine, except he started to laugh. Okay.
I love guitarists that can play their own lead along with it. You know, yeah. You don't need somebody else to play your lead. You got it right there. Yeah. And just two things. I want to go where there's a dollar drink for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
That would be a line out that door. And the other thing is, aren't we all? And don't you try to help people to take those mountains and turn them into hills?
Yes, I do.
That's part of what you do.
Yes, I do.
We're going to talk more right after this break. Don't.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear: uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 1-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Away, short break.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Having a blast today with Deborah Bishop, Paul Bono on this show. We're turning mountains into hills.
We are indeed.
Basically, that's a good theme for our show today.
Also, I wanted to say something too, just so we know. Musically, we are known as Bishop.
I was going to ask you about that because I think I remember the last time I played with you was Bishop.
Yes.
No, tell us more about that name.
Well, I mean, Bishop is my
Bishop,
last name.
Bishop.
Bishop.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of funny. We were doing a show out in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And after the show, we were joking around. And Paul was like, I'm going to throw you off the balcony. Now, there was no balcony. So I wasn't about to get thrown off the balcony. But I was like, man, but if you do that, it's like you're going to be done with the bish. You're only going to have the op. And so he is the op to my bish. That is how it works. So that's how Bishop was kind of born. Bishop. Yeah. And also it kind of... I've done music for a long time.
That's clever.
But life kind of got... you know, intrinsically involved for a while. And it wasn't I wasn't writing and doing and all of that. I was, but there was sort of a space between album to, you know, the next thing that we were writing. And I think it was actually you that said, because I said, I don't really feel like Deborah Bishop anymore. If you look up Deborah Bishop, it's not that I'm not proud of the songs and all of that, but this is so beyond what that was. And I was, it's kind of weird to be Deborah Bishop. And he just said, well, why not just be Bishop? So that's where Bishop came from. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I like that. That's the growth of Deborah Bishop. She's now Bishop, and then they became Bishop because, you know.
We all grow and evolve, don't we?
And I just get to be a bish.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go there. I'm glad you did.
I do. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That's something. So Bishop.
Bishop, yeah.
B-I-S-H.
O-P.
O-P?
Yeah, it's just Bishop.
Bishop.
It's just Bishop.
I love it.
Let me just pronounce it a little bit. a little bit differently.
You lived in LA for a long time in that LA scene. How is the music scenes? Can you compare and contrast to what you're seeing here in Nashville?
Wow. you know, they both, I can't speak to the current LA music scene because I've been here for a while, but I can say that they're both places of phenomenal talent. There's amazing talent.
Yeah.
And I think LA might, I love you, LA. I really do. I do. I loved living there. I loved my life there. But they're a little more jaded, I think. A little bit more jaded. Yeah. Just a little bit. And I think you find that here too, but it's not as prevalent, you know. But you know, there's a lot to be said for both places. I think it really just depends on what you're after.
Yeah.
I think though LA is I think the new sort of Hollywood is becoming Nashville. I really do.
Oh.
I see a lot of stuff moving here. I see a lot of the signs
That's
on
true.
The wall, like sort of like, oh, okay, this is what's happening. Okay. You know, and there is so much music here, just like there is music there. But here there's the focus, I think a lot of focus on country because for tourism and everything else, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you go downtown and you listen to all those bands on Lower Broadway and you hear very little country.
Yeah. Yeah, well, crazy? Country these days is not what country
was, right?
How do
you define
it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, and in LA, you know, if you do country per se, it doesn't necessarily embrace you. Mm. So there is that, you know, there is that, the difference, you know. But I can't speak to the music scene of today because I'm just not part of it in Los Angeles at this time.
LA.
But it's a creative town. I mean, you know. It's
How long have you been in Nashville? What brought you here?
Oh.
And we're glad you're here. I mean, we're glad
Thank
you're
you. Here. I've been in Nashville for, I think, 17 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of a newcomer, though, because for almost a decade, I was living part-time in Vancouver and part-time here, and I was taking care of family and folks and things like that. And it was really hard to kind of find the footing between, because I was gone for, you know, a month, 6 weeks, and then back for 6 weeks, and then gone. And So it was an interesting time for sure. So I feel like I'm kind of brand new to Nashville in so many ways.
Me too.
And what brought me here was not maybe what you think. And it's a little bit more on a personal note. I was married at the time, and my husband he kind of went crazy. And he was born and raised in LA and working like in the top 1% of the film industry. And so he would go to work at like 3:30 on a Monday morning, and he'd be getting back from a week of work at like 5:30 on a Saturday morning. So it was an intense life that he lived. And he crashed and burned in a big way. And I had been doing some stuff musically out here back and forth. Never intended to necessarily move here, but the doctors and stuff were saying, oh yeah, no, it might be good for him to get away.
Yeah.
So we moved here, from Los Angeles. I don't regret it. I loved my husband. I wanted him to be well, but it didn't work that way, unfortunately. So I no longer have my husband, but for some reason I'm still in Nashville. So
is he back in LA?
He did go back to LA. Yeah. He kind of went back to the life he was living before we met. He kind of just went right back to that. And and I don't know now.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you went through that.
It was interesting. The one thing I will say to anybody who's thinking about moving because their spouse is going through something or needs it. You know, be really careful what you say yes to, because it was a, and it has nothing to do with where I moved. It had everything to do with what was going on. I left my entire support system. Oh. I left my band. I left my company.
Wow.
I left everything. And I would not do it again. No, that was hell.
But you built a new life here.
Yes, indeed. I
a
did.
A new band?
Well, you know, we are partners, and we have people that we have played with. Mm-hmm. We don't have an official band here yet, but that's next.
I got you.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. You've got exciting things on the horizon.
Yes.
Let's share another one of these songs. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So you guys just touched on country music a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this is our most country song that we have in our repertoire.
Oh, cool.
And, it's kind of more of an old school country. It's not modern country at all. It's more reminiscent of
Patsy Cline.
Patsy Cline, Hank Williams, Willie Nelson. Kind of the old school.
I love
old
it.
Guard, you know,
we need
which
more
we love.
Of that.
Yeah, I know.
And this song evolved You were like, don't want to work another this day.
Song just, yeah, this is a drop from the sky.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Picked up the guitar one night.
And oh, that's right. And you just really, started playing just, a, you just started playing a chord. Right, I think we were done with what we were doing, right? I think we had finished doing a song we were recording. We're doing a lot of writing, a lot of recording right now.
Yeah.
And
I was working all day and I was tired. And
yes,
I
just right.
Said, I just said, don't want to work another day. And that was the song. Then yep. We started.
This blue, this, way to start this, it. This yeah. guitar that he has been, this is really phenomenal for some reason, amazing guitar for us. And yeah, he just started playing a chord and then we were done. We were in the studio for about another, 90 minutes?
Wow.
Something like that.
It's Yamaha. Beautiful. Love it.
Don't want to work another day. Don't want to walk another mile. Don't want to miss a chance to play. Don't want to miss another smile. 'Cause I have been lonesome before. And I don't want to be lonesome anymore.
Anymore.
Where the grass is greener.
Anymore.
The weather's warm.
Anymore.
Gentle waves kiss the shore. Don't want to cry another tear. Don't want to break another heart. Just want the skies to be clear and make a lovely piece of art. 'Cause I have been lonesome before. There's warm
anymore.
Gentle waves kiss the shore. I want the roses to be red. I wanna drink some pink champagne. I wanna spend the day in bed. Wake up and do it all again.
About this show is the live music around the dining room table at my home here in just outside of Nashville in Hermitage, Tennessee. We have the duet known as Bishop. And my bad for not mentioning that sooner, Deborah Bishop and Paul Bono. Paul, you're from Boston, did you tell me? How long have you been in Nashville?
Yeah, I've been here 25 years.
25
years. Yeah, I grew up in the Boston area.
Uh-huh. And was it music that brought you here?
Yeah, yeah. I was I did the whole Berklee College of Music thing.
Did you?
Up there in Boston, since it was like in my neighborhood. So easy to go there.
He's the educated one.
Yeah. I went to Harvard.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, for about 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, like we were
neighbors.
We
just
then.
Toured it. Oh, well. Actually wouldn't let me in.
Right across the Charles River. Is Harvard from Berklee.
I bought a t-shirt, though.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what the heck? You know. Anyway, I'm
sorry. Yeah, so I moved here. Yeah, to produce records and work in the studios here. And I knew there's such a great talent pool of musicianship and studio session players, songwriters, record labels, everything.
Yeah,
so
it was all there.
I just knew it was kind of where I needed to be if I was going to continue in this profession. And and so I've been here for a long time.
Tell us a little bit more about what you did and who you ran into. And just dive right in here for it.
I've been fortunate. You know, I started producing records over 30 years ago, and
you did.
I never tried to do it. I just kind of knew I wanted to do it, and it just kept snowballing. I'd produce a record for one person, and then they'd tell somebody else, and then like you don't advertise. I don't have an advertising budget, you know.
But, I think word of mouth is the best.
Yeah. So I've just been fortunate. Just whatever project I was supposed to work on, just kind of showed up, you know, and that's just kind of the way it's been for me. I never like really went out of my way to seek out artists or talent. Talent just kind of showed up on my doorstep,
they
and I was like,
you.
Oh, I guess we're supposed to do a record together.
That's wonderful.
Same thing happened with Deborah. It's like I met her one day and I thought, she's, you know, she's kind of hot, and then I thought
she's very
then lovely. I found out she could sing, and then found out she was an artist, and and I said to her one day, I said, "Hey, if you'd like, you know, after I finished the Cindy Alter project, I said, if you'd like, we could maybe work on some music together and see what happens, right?" And then
so you produced the Cindy Alter sessions.
Yeah, I did. Wow. I produced one of her. I think maybe two projects for her.
Wow.
It's a group of songs with my buddy Freddie Cannon.
Okay.
Who he knew her. Freddie Cannon, that's part of the fun story Freddie was head of a record label in England, and he's the one that discovered Cindy Alter.
Wow.
And the Clout Band. It was his label that put the Substitute single out. So Freddie and Cindy have this, you know, 40-year history.
Wow.
And so when Freddie subsequently moved to Nashville, when he left the record label industry in England, which he was very successful at, he heard that Cindy was going to come through Nashville, and he's like, hey, if you're going to be coming through Nashville, you got to come work with me and Paul. We'll get you in the studio. We'll cut some tracks. So that's how I started. That's how I met Cindy, and then
very, very cool.
Subsequently, how I met Deborah.
Cool story. Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah. Deb, what do you listen to these days? What's on your playlist? Who do you like to listen to these days?
Oh gosh, I listen to everything. Well, that's not true. I don't like really intense hard driving speed metal screaming music. It has its place, and more power to it, and more power to the artists who choose to do it. That is awesome. But I have a tendency to be fairly diverse. I listen to everything from big band to, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm horrible at naming other artists and stuff. Oh, I love this or I love that. I just know I like a good song.
Yeah.
And so I listen to what I consider to be good music. I listen to a lot of instrumental too. But then again, you know, it's kind of interesting because we work on so much music. Sometimes I just don't listen to anything.
Yeah.
Because it's
me neither.
It's just too much. It's like
absolutely.
Plus I can't listen to music without hearing lyrics. I know some people like hear. I don't know the first thing you hear. I hear always hear lyrics the very first thing. What's the first thing you hear when you?
No, melody.
You melody, hear melody,
and I am the same way. It's the melody that draws me in,
right?
And then the lyrics will just seal the deal,
right? No, for me, the first thing I hear are the lyrics. Now the melody obviously would go along with that, but so if I'm listening to anything where they're singing and stuff, like I can't like do other. I get pulled in.
Yeah.
So I listen to a lot of instrumental for that reason.
Yeah.
But it just depends. I mean, you know, I listen to the classics, of course. You know, they've influenced me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think the first artist that ever influenced me was Olivia Newton-John.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's interesting. People sometimes say, hey, you have a little of that going on.
A little Olivia.
It's not surprising.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also this, the tone of my voice and the range and stuff. But, I just listen to good music. That'd be the way, what I call good music, you know.
That's my answer when people say, what kind of music do you play? Well, hopefully good music.
Mm-hmm. We categorically call what we do Swampabilly Gospel Blues.
See, there you go. That's what I was after. Say it again.
Swampabilly Gospel Blues.
Swampabilly Gospel Blues. Mm-hmm. This is what I've been trying to tell the young artists I work with every day. What is your brand? What do you do? Mark Allen Barnett's In Your Face Country Soul. Just Kelly Adams, who was on the show not too long ago, she was great with grit. Grace with grit country. Mm-hmm. Or grit with grace country. I got it backwards. Natalie Price, who tells people she's Americinda. Now you've got your brand. I love your brand. I love it. And I've got to hear another song before we leave.
Okay.
Leave it at that. So give us some of that right there.
Okay.
Bishop with us today.
Yes. Your spirit free, like the song once said, let it be. Move it along, sweet Molly, don't you be waiting here. There's a new moon rising, let down your hair. Move it along, sweet Molly, kick up your heels real high. Skies are calling, move it along. Life ain't got no flavor if you don't add no spice. Can't find no favor when people ain't so nice. Oh, kick your troubles to the curb. Sometimes you gotta duck and swerve. Letting go of yesterday. Move it along, sweet Molly. Don't you be waiting here. There's a new moon rising. Let down your hair. Move it along, sweet Molly. Kick up your heels real high. Skies are calling, move it along. There's a new moon rising. Let down your hair. Move it along, sweet Molly. Kick up your heels real high. Blue skies are calling. Move it along. Move it along, sweet Molly. Don't you be waiting here. There's a new moon rising. Let down your hair, move it along, sweet Molly, pick up your heels real high, blue skies are calling, move it along.
calling. Move it along.
I love it. And it is about time to move it along. But I just enjoy so much getting inside your head a little bit.
Thank you.
Thanks for all the tips and things. And I feel like I could talk to you like 5 more hours on this stuff you've
written. I would love to come back.
Many, many times. And Paul, same to you. And you know, I'm going to tell you, next time you come back, it's going to be as Bishop.
Okay.
And we're going to do the duet thing because you're going to have all that exciting stuff will be going on, right? Promise you'll come back.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Love Definitely. It. Thank you so much.
It's been my Dave. Pleasure to have you here.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.